We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run Finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
97.5 and 1240 KFH.
All right, welcome back in, everybody. We've spent the majority of our first hour on the NBA Finals. Happy to go back there with you at Game 1, 869-1240. If you missed any of the conversation, you can always go back and listen on the free Odyssey app as well. Just search KFH. It's Jacob Albrecht. It's Paul Savage with you. I appreciate Paul being in as Tommy celebrates the new addition to his family. Congratulations to the Casters. Tommy will be back with you next week as well as Paul. I'm taking a little trip, so you'll have the two of them next week, so that'll be a lot of fun. Paul, let's switch gears a little bit as we go into hour number two here. The IHOP hotline is open, 869-1240. Jad will take your calls. But Paul, college athletics in the mix. Two things that we want to touch on here in this hour are, you know, the contingency going to Washington to continue to lobby NIL, and then UConn. A lot of rumors starting to swirl that UConn may be in addition to the Big 12, which will be interesting. But we'll get into that a little later. Let's start with this lobbying effort. Nick Saban, other SEC administrators, coaches, lobbyists headed to Washington to try and push for some federal regulation to the NIL. Now, I think there is a fine line and a slippery slope in all this that I'm having a bit of a tough time navigating. When I yesterday or the day before, whichever day, we talked about things like Nick Saban talking about unionization and all that. To me, that's Nick Saban screaming salary cap. Let's get everybody spending at the same level, because, you know, we don't like not being, you know, the big dogs here. I think that's all smoke. This NIL federal regulation stuff gets interesting, Paul, because states do have different laws, and that is a challenge. And that's a difficult challenge, right? What you can do in some states, you can't do in others. And so that part of it, and this is what, you know, we've talked extensively with Kevin Saul about this. I understand that component and that challenge, and I don't have any problem with that component and that challenge. However, I do think there is far too much chatter involved in this that involves how much guys are making, right, in the transfer portal. And so I think those are two very separate things, right? We got this down to one transfer for free. I think that solves that for me. That's good enough for me. I don't want any more of this. You have to apply every time you want to leave. I don't like that. One time for free, and then you have to apply. I'm okay with that. As far as, like, having an issue, though, with the Wild West nature of guys getting paid to play or how much they're making, again, we've talked about this a billion times. Like, you better leave that part of it alone, because that's that dangerous and slippery slope. So if you've got all these people going to lobby that are just lobbying for uniform rules state to state, okay. Let's not have any of those rules limit what players can earn, and I can get on board with that. But if it's anything more than that, if it's any sort of, you know, effort to limit what players can make, we got a big problem.
Right.
And at that point, let's start talking about revenue sharing.
Right. We have a caller on the line. We'll get to it in just a second. But I just want to point out one thing. We did this story, what, 2 days ago? I think it was 2 days ago. It might have been yesterday.
Yeah,
I think it was two days ago. We did this story with Nick Saban. I really thought, Jacob, that this was going to be a throwaway story. You know, one of those little fun stories you and I always enjoy, which makes sports so special. These little stories that you don't know what's going to happen. And I really thought this was going to be one of those stories, a little throwaway story about Nick Saban. Well, man, I think I'm wrong. I think I was wrong on that. I think this is going to be a big deal. I think people like Nick Saban are going to throw their weight behind this kind of potential legislation from the United States Congress, of all people. I think they're going to try to do everything they can to put as many clamps down and try to get as many controls in place to control whatever young men are doing, however much money they can make, to wherever they can go. They're going to try to clamp down. They're going to become basically the United States NCAA. That's where I think this is headed. I didn't really realize it. I can't believe that I'm so wrong on a story. But the good thing was it only took me 2 days to figure this out. But I finally figured it out. Jacob, you were onto something. I think you always thought that this was going to be a real issue. I wasn't so sure. But I think now I'm pretty sure it's a big deal, Jacob. It's a big deal.
Well, if you're, and I don't want to say it's the NCAA, but if you're the powers that be in college athletics, and you're trying to schmooze lawmakers, who's your biggest fish to do that with? Is the guy that's going to walk in every room and lawmakers be like, oh my God, there he is. Let's try to be his friend. It's Nick Saban.
That's Nick Saban.
It's Nick Saban.
Yeah. Gotcha. Yeah. No, yeah. You're right.
And so, I if I'm on that side of it, yeah, that's the first person I'd call. Like, Nick, we need you here. Like, come out. Yeah. So, again, like, it's what is the ultimate goal? Nick Saban individually, with a lot of his talk, again, unions, Nick Saban doesn't like that other people are spending more money than he is. Like, he doesn't like that. Like, that part of it is pretty clear to me. He consistently gripes about it and complains about it and calls out Texas A&M because Texas A&M spends all this money. I think I hope that we have two separate things happening here. I hope that he's not in Washington to lobby and go on this personal vendetta against some schools spending more money than Alabama because their stranglehold on the industry is loosening. It clearly is. That I'd have a problem with, and I'm not sure that that's not what's happening. But I'm trying to envision this scenario where Saban is there altruistically to figure out a way to, you know, come up with some regulation that at least gives uniform guidelines, right? Here's what we can and cannot do. None of these rules that I'm going to mention limit what players can earn. Again, that's the elephant in the room. Does anything that's being talked about or proposed limit what players can earn? Because if that's the goal, then you can miss me with all of it, right? I don't care. I don't even want to start the conversation. If what you're about to say puts any limits on what players can earn, I don't want to hear it, because I think we're well beyond that. Those days, the good old days of this absolutely bonkers, borderline illegal business model that college athletics have run for a long, long time, miss me with all of that. So don't even bring it up if it has anything to do with limiting what players can earn. If it doesn't, though, and it's more of a let's get some guidelines in place to take care of the players, make sure there are no bad actors in this, make sure that there's no tampering, make sure that, you know, all okay, I'm on board with that because I think it is necessary. But I think you've got a slippery slope there. And I just don't know that I buy Nick Saban and the SEC contingency being there if it in some way doesn't try to limit what players can earn.
Yeah.
And Paul, unless you're going to revenue share, you just don't have any business doing that.
Right. So it's not about the children. It's not about them, is it?
Right. Exactly.
Well, that's pretty interesting. I think I'm agreeing with you now. I mean, I didn't know there was anything to this. I thought it didn't have a chance. Jacob, that's really what I thought. I thought there's no chance that anything like this happens. But I'll tell you what, I think I could be wrong.
Let's open up the IHOP hotline here. We'll jump around a little bit. John's been patiently waiting, wants to get back to the NBA conversation. John, welcome into Sports Daily. How are you?
I'm doing great. Thank you, guys. Love the show. Love listening to the comments and everything. I just wanted to point out my take on the game last night. I don't think it was as much Butler costing them the game. I agreed it would have helped out a lot if he got to the free throw line. But I can tell you, in watching the previous series, Bam Adebayo played a lot better than he did against Boston. And Martin was having a world of trouble for Miami. He, you know, Caleb Martin was not playing as well as he did against Boston. But the real problem in this series is Strus. The guy was 0 for 10 from the field, 0 for 9 from three-point range. And if you take those numbers out on their shooting, they shot pretty well as a team. Now, the big difference is when Tyler Hero, who could come back for game two, if he comes back in and this guy's averaging over 15 points a game like he was during the season, and he becomes a starter again and Strus goes back to the bench, you're looking at, even if he made a third of his three-point shots, if he made three of them, that's 9 points in an 11-point final. That becomes a two-point game. And, you know, Miami's not sitting their starters the last 2 minutes of the game. I just think it's a different series, and I think they played really well. You know, Denver likes an up-tempo game. They want to put it in 120 points a game. And Miami keeping them to 104 is really, you know, in the low hundreds is a success.
Well, that's a good take.
I want to share my take with you guys.
Jacob, that's a pretty good take, really. I think he's on to something
there.
It is. Go ahead, Jacob.
It for sure is.
Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, look, I think that the role players for Miami clearly have to be better. And I think the point, John, and I'm pretty sure Paul agrees with this, the role players can be great and it not be enough. It's hard to imagine Miami with sustained success in this series that doesn't start with at least Jimmy Butler being great. I think that's the point on Butler. Yeah, the role players, Miami, and look, Miami lost by 11 points and you feel like they played really poorly. So, and that's why I don't want to definitively say this series is over, anything crazy like that after game one, because I absolutely envision Miami playing better as this series goes on, right? And are they 11 points better within a game? I don't know. But I do think they can play better, but it starts at least with Jimmy Butler. And yeah, the role players are going to have to be good too. Tyler Hero's an interesting X factor. I don't know what Tyler Hero's going to do because he hasn't been there, right? He's been gone for most of the playoffs. So I don't know.
And go ahead, John.
No, I was just going to say thank you, guys. So I think he's going to make a big difference. But when you got a guy that's 0 for 10 from the field and 0 for 9 from three-point range.
You're right.
And the other thing I wanted to note was that Jokic, if you notice, he didn't get his rebounds when Adebayo was in the game. He got the good majority of his rebounds in the game when he was out of the game. I mean, I was watching specifically just because I had a prop bet on Jokic's rebounds, so I had special interest in it. But he really didn't do the job against Adebayo, Adebayo out rebounded him. So it could get interesting, but Gordon's the X factor because he just played phenomenal.
Yeah, I'm going to start looking, and we appreciate the call, John. Good stuff. I think the prop I'm going to start watching is that assist prop for Jokic because he's clearly willing to not have to be the offensive force. And yeah, Bam Adebayo will make a difference, I think, in the rebounding. But good stuff. We're going to have call us Monday morning, and John, and let's get through game two, and we'll see if any of this stuff changed and if it made a difference in the series. Let's go to, now, Jad, you may have to jump in here a little bit with us.
I'm
Scott
ready.
Wants to talk about the NHL. 869-1240 on the IHOP hotline. Scott, what's on your mind?
Best playoffs in sport, guys. NHL Stanley Cup Final. And it looks like we're going to have a heck of a series here. Vegas Golden Knights have been pretty much rolling all year long. You got Florida that takes out basically everybody who is any power of the East. Coming together. The story of this playoff series is going to be Aiden Hill, the goalkeeper for the Knights. He was their number five, basically, goalkeeper, and he had to take over in the middle of the Edmonton series when their Broussard got injured. And the kid's been amazing. The Knights' depth is loaded. They're loaded on all four lines. But you're going to get some guys over in Florida. Florida is loaded right now. They're getting everybody back. Anybody had have you guys been paying attention much at all? And do you have any thoughts on the way the series is going to go?
Well, Scott, let me just point out what my buddy Jed Chambers has told me about this series. Florida probably has a better team, but a better goaltender. Las Vegas has a better team. Advantage Florida. Jacob, take it from there.
Yeah, listen, I agree with you, Scott. I don't agree that it. I'm not going to sit here and say it's the best playoff series because it isn't for me. But I will tell you that I absolutely love the unpredictability.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At-Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At-Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Of the Stanley Cup playoffs. I think it's amazing. I have enjoyed. There's not another sport, probably, that I can sit and watch, know nothing about the players, know nothing about the strategy involved, and know very little about, you know, how teams got where they are, and enjoy a game as much as I can just sitting and watching a Stanley Cup playoff game. That's the truth.
I got you on that.
I don't.
Before we go back to
Scott. Like, I can't do that with soccer,
no.
Paul. I can't do that with, like, but I turn on hockey and I'm like, man, this is fantastic.
Yeah.
I don't know anything about anything that's going on right now, but it's amazing.
Scott, before I throw it back to you, because I want another comment from you, let me throw it over to Jad Chambers, because I'm going to tell you right now, Scott, Jad Chambers has really made me interested in this Cup Finals. I mean, it's interesting to me to a certain extent. I'm like Jacob. I'm really not very knowledgeable about it, but Jad has helped me along with the Cup playoffs. And Jad, your takes right now, you gave me some great takes. Give Scott a couple of great takes, and he's going to think we're all geniuses.
Well, I don't know if he's going to think I'm much of a genius, because I was predicting a, you know, Colorado or Boston Stanley Cup win, both out in the first round. It was really kind of shocking to me how the whole thing turned out. I was not expecting Florida versus Vegas to wind up being our final, but now that that's what we have, I mentioned it to you earlier, we've got Florida talking about being a team of destinies is kind of what they're all talking about there, and with the guy like Matthew Tkachuk playing, you've got a guy that's, you talked about that X factor earlier when we were talking about the NBA. The guy who can make that clutch play right there in time. I don't think Florida's quite the team overall that Vegas is, but they've got Tkachuk, who has that X factor, and their goaltender, Bobrovsky, he's been playing out of his mind. So you've got, I don't know, it's gonna be really interesting. I wouldn't necessarily predict a 6 or 7 game series, but I don't think it's going to be quick. I don't think it's going to be over in 4. But then again, this particular Stanley Cup playoffs, I've been wrong about everything else.
Scott,
the depth of Vegas right now with their four lines. You got 16 guys who have scored goals so far in the playoffs. I think that's going to be the fact. And the one guy who hasn't really done much scoring is Jack Eichel. Basically mortgages the house on, and he's not putting in any goals in. He's getting assists and everything. If Michael comes alive, this thing could be a blowout. You're right. The goalkeeper for Florida has been absolutely stunning. And then with Tkachuk and the Staal brothers on the other side, they are starting to pick up their offense. So this should be one heck of a series.
Yeah, there you go. Well, Scott, you've got to be absolutely blown away about how well Sports Daily breaks down hockey, aren't you?
Oh, you know.
Thank you, Scott, for the call. You guys done talking Canadian? I don't speak Canadian.
Yeah, I know.
Very well.
I had no idea what Jed was talking
check back
about.
In.
That whole
I'll
time.
Check
I didn't
back
know.
In here.
Oh my gosh. That's great.
We do love the Stanley Cup playoffs. Obviously, we love the Wichita Thunder here locally.
Oh, we do. Sure we do.
That's where
there's
Tommy's
no
at. I just I'm like truthfully, like there isn't to me a better sport to walk in, know nothing about, and enjoy it as much as hockey. I mean, I think live hockey is as fun as anything. And I think even on TV, when you're into the Stanley Cup now, or Stanley Cup playoffs, I just turn, like at night, I've loved that there's been a lot of West Coast flavor to it because like I come down where you see me now, if you're on our video stream on Facebook and YouTube, and I come down here, you know, we start the day here and end the day here, start the day here, then do a little iced tea, Paul, go work TV for a while, then come back home and work a little more on the businesses. And man, I flip it on. I don't know anything about it. It's late at night and it's fantastic. I'm like, this is great. Like, I don't know anything about who these players are, but this is fantastic. The energy is always good. Like, that's what I love about hockey, and especially into the Stanley Cup playoffs.
Right. Speed of the game is unbelievable. I don't think there is another game that the speed stays at the level that it is with such ease. And, you know, it's a game that I don't know a lot about, to be real truthful. And I'm kind of like you in a way. There was a time when I really understood
a
lot of
early
players.
90s.
Yeah, yep. And I remember, gosh, I'm gonna make a confession. I even bought some wax boxes of hockey cards. Can you believe that? Paul Savage buying hockey cards.
Yeah, I can imagine that because you're a collector. But I love it. And there was a time in the early 90s before the strike where I did know all the star players at least. And I watched a ton of hockey then. But then, you don't have time to know and follow everything. Some people do. I certainly don't. 869-1240 is the IHOP hotline. Appreciate those calls. We'll keep it open for you the rest of the way. Just finding out that we've got some tickets to George Michael Reborn, a tribute to George Michael and Wham!, it'll be Saturday, June 17th at the Orpheum Theater. Let's give away a pair of tickets to that.
Good,
here on Sports Daily. First caller during the break. Paul and I are going to come back. What do we make of these UConn to the Big 12 rumors that are swirling around? We'll hit that next. Get us a winner on the IHOP hotline and roll forward on a Friday here on Sports Daily. Welcome back, everybody. Paul, how's that coffee?
Well, I'm going to tell you right now, here's the amazing thing about going black. I really like this doing it this way. Do you know how much time I am saving in my life now? It takes time to get the creamer, pour it in, stir it, you know, clean up your mess, set the cup down to do all this. You go in, you take your cup, you put it under the nozzle, you pull the handle, you walk away with the coffee. I'm saving 45 seconds per cup of coffee I am adding to my life right now. How about that? And I didn't ever really realize drinking black coffee extends your life.
Yeah, it's one of those studies where you can find one that says it's bad for you. You can find all kinds of stuff. But if you use those 45 seconds you're collecting, Paul, go over to HTO and let them, if you want to get a creative coffee, let them give you one of the new iced coffees out
there.
Oh,
yeah. Rocco and I are going by this afternoon. Yeah, Joe Rocco.
Try one. One of the new ices. People are loving it. We just rolled those out Monday or Tuesday, and people are enjoying the new offerings there. So they'll take care of your creative coffee needs. They also have black coffee, Paul, which is what I'm drinking right now and drink every morning, and
it
is amazing.
Yeah, you're no bigger of a man than me, I can tell you that.
And Jacob, I got to say this, I probably will also be there sometime this afternoon, so I'll be trying one of those myself.
You know what we need to do, Jad?
What
in celebration of your appearance? Let's get you some free coffee to give away.
Oh, okay.
Here on the show through. I think we're out of coffee cards there at the studio, right? We've got some tea that we can give away, but we're out of coffee. We're going to get Jad some coffee cards and get those out to you guys so you can check out what we're talking about over at HTO.
Jad,
my wife and I's business.
Yeah, you need to fill up your new bottle, your new HTO bottle that I shamed Jacob into giving you.
There's no shame. You were going to discount the price for him,
weren't you?
Got to eat, Paul. Family's got to eat. 869-1240 is the IHOP hotline. Okay, so let's talk about UConn, Paul. And you know, preface this with these are like loose internet rumblings, but we know that UConn's been on the radar. And we know that the Big 12 wants to expand. And we know that West has been the direction. But it does also make sense to get some exposure back east to join now Central Florida and West Virginia. And UConn is a really interesting program. Our defending national basketball champion. We know that the Big 12 is trying to create basketball value here. UConn football has been no good for a long time. Do you think that UConn is a good candidate for expansion into the Big 12? So as we understand it, the contract currently states that the Big 12 just did, with the additions of current Power 5 schools, that they can be added and not water down basically the value, that school could come into the league and get the same deal they're all getting. If it's not that, then you've got to get approval because that could conceivably water down the take for everybody else. UConn's not a Power 5 school right now. They're in the Big East. So, one, it's in ESPN's backyard. We know how much ESPN values UConn. I wonder if UConn's going to come on board, Paul, it's almost certainly going to have to be with the stipulation that ESPN would sign off on it coming in as a member at the same value of the current schools. Because if that doesn't happen, everybody's going to vote no, right? Why wouldn't you vote no? You don't want to water down your own value. But if you can get them in there, even with their not good football program, but their amazing basketball program, an amazing women's basketball program, and amazing other sports programs that they have, I think UConn's a no-brainer. But it all depends at that point on ESPN and if they'd take him as a full member or not.
Well, here's the thing. We thought we've had this story for a year, maybe a little longer than a year, and we've talked about UConn. I mean briefly, not a whole lot, but briefly, because I didn't think it was going to happen. But now there's a go back east, pick up some teams for Florida, for West Virginia, pick up a couple, and I think there might be room for another one or two, probably to get them to somewhere around six would be my guess. Don't know, but UConn makes sense because of the success they've had in basketball. And who's to say once you become a member of the Big 12, there's a little cachet when it comes to starting getting football players, and I believe that the Big 12 would be great for UConn. But I'm sitting here thinking to myself, you know something? A year ago, I wasn't too hot on UConn joining the Big 12. I'm not so sure right now with where things are going, with the presence that the Big 12 wants to have to the east side of the country, the presence the Big 12 wants to have in the west. It might be a no-brainer in that effort to get to even more than 16 teams. I don't know if that's the case, but I kind of like the idea. I'm not opposed to it.
I like 20.
All.
I like 20 teams. I like
too.
East and
me
West.
Too. I do too.
10 and 10.
Yep.
I think I don't have a problem with it.
I agree.
I think that's the I don't know that's – there is concern that you lose, like, the camaraderie and everything that you have in a league. I get that, and I think it's warranted, right? You can get
too
big.
Sure.
But – I think in the current landscape, you kind of can't get too big because it's defense, like you're playing defense at that point and trying to sweeten these deals so that you don't get poached, right? You're trying to elevate your league to where the SEC and the Big Ten are currently. And I think that's what, Brett Yormark's trying to do. And I think the only way to do that is to do, some more expansion, some further expansion. Where's that sweet spot? I don't know. I don't think 20 is too big. I think it's very manageable because then you just split it, right? And then you kind of have two, for football anyway, you kind of have two little conferences, So I think that's okay. I think you can do 20. I think you can do 24, honestly. Two 12-team divisions that sort of play the same kind of schedule you've always played that just meet in the title game. I don't have a problem with that either. So I think there's room. I think that UConn would be, again, if you can get ESPN and the networks who are doing the deals to sign off on them as a member, since they're not currently Power 5, which I think that you probably can. I think it's an interesting one. But if you can, then yeah, I like UConn in the Big 12.
Well, Brigham Young was not a Power 5 when they joined.
Well, but they did the deal after they joined.
Oh,
right.
Oh,
so the new additions came in and then they did the deal now.
All right.
So now the deal is in place, and so now any further additions have to go through that process.
Right.
Whereas if they add Colorado, right? Colorado can just get grandfathered in, or Arizona State. You don't have to worry about it with them, but with UConn or with, you know, I don't know, you know, Memphis, if they're ever a candidate, or South Florida or whomever, you've got to get a sign off then from the networks, basically, I think, to take them on as full members. I think that capability exists in the contract, but it's not guaranteed. So then what you would have, let's say you go to ESPN and say, hey, we want to add UConn. And ESPN's like, well, we're not going to give them $31 million a year or whatever. Then you got to vote on it. And if I'm any school in the Big 12, I would say, well, no, because that's going to water down the money currently in there. We're not going to do that. So, you know, that's a stipulation that almost has to happen. UConn's interesting because they are in ESPN's backyard, right?
Right?
Bristol, Connecticut. It's right there. UConn gets all kinds of run, and you know, it makes sense. And UConn's got a national brand. Let's not kid ourselves. If we were just talking about basketball here, it'd be different.
Yeah.
And maybe we are just talking about basketball. Who knows? Maybe UConn football can stay as an independent. I don't know.
No. It won't be an independent. It needs to go to the Big 12 because I think – that's kind of like a sleeping giant in football, isn't it? I think it could be.
They've had some years. No, it's not either.
No, but once you start playing a Big 12 schedule and once you join the Big 12, that's going to open a lot of eyes. It's going to give a lot of people the chance to see Big 12 football in basically the northeast part of the country where it's a huge population. Yes, go ahead.
It is. Is Rutgers ever taken advantage of that situation?
But it's in New Jersey. That's different. Sorry about that if you're from New Jersey. But no.
Merrill Teller takes offense.
Oh, yeah. But wait a second. Let me answer that question. Also, Rutgers is in the Big Ten. And the Big Ten, in that particular case with what we're looking at, is basically going to be those Rust Belt-type states. It's going to be those states that run from, you know, Pennsylvania over to Minnesota. It's kind of like it wouldn't quite fit in the Big Ten, but in the Big 12, come join the party. We're a diverse conference. Yeah. We have teams all the way out to Utah,
Paul, what great football program has existed in the last, I don't know, decade, two decades in the northeast part of the country?
Well, Syracuse has had some pretty darn good football teams and has had some pretty darn good football players come out of Syracuse. That I do know for sure. So I would say Syracuse would probably be one of those
Syracuse
teams.
You'd call Syracuse a great football program?
Well, they've had their moments.
Sure they have. Lots of teams have had their moments. But let's not beat around the bush here. That's not a great football region.
Well, why can't it be great? Why, you tell me. Tell me why the northeast part of the country can't be a great football part of the country.
Let's say baby Paul Savage is sitting there as a five-star recruit.
All right.
And I'm coming at you from Austin, Texas, or wherever, or Alabama, and, you know, I'm like Georgia, and I'm like, hey, in the winter time, you can either play up there, or you can come down here where weather's still nice and play down here.
Sure,
Paul Savage going to go play?
Yeah, I got you. But even those teams aren't going to be able to take every really great baby Paul Savage.
No, I'm not saying they can't be a better program. I'm not saying can't be a better program. Of course they can, because they have nowhere to go.
I was just going to say, my baby Savage is going to ask the question, how much NIL's in it for me? So there you
go.
That's right. I'm not lying.
No, you're not. I'm not saying they can't get better. Of course they can. They can't get worse. But if you add UConn and you're the Big 12, you're not adding UConn because you think it's going to give you this national championship opportunity for your league. You're adding them because you get one of the best basketball programs in the in the country. You're adding him because you get into a fantastic television situation, and you hope that the football program can at least rise to the Big 12 standard, right? That's all you hope for. Can that program reach the level that the rest of the league sort of rotates through? I mean, there are no more bad football programs in the Big 12. That's one thing about, you know, the additions that have been made in the league as it currently stands. Paul, who's the worst football program in the Big 12?
Right now,
I don't have an answer.
Right now? Boy, that would be tough. I would, you know, I guess Texas Tech. No, I don't even know. I don't know the Texas Tech. No, probably not.
Because they
know.
Rotate through just they fine. Tech's probably in the conversation, but they're not bad. Like, and it rotates. I'm not saying it like who do we think is going to be the worst next year? That's not what I mean. I just mean, like, in general terms, are there any
Kansas,
bad
I guess.
Football programs? Yeah, Kansas would be it, but Kansas is on the way
but
up,
too. But they're rising. They've got some stock. They've right. got it's some just, skin in the game now.
The floor is pretty high in the Big 12.
That's
Can
right.
UConn, if they joined, reach that floor is all that really matters. And in the Big 12, now especially without Texas and right. Oklahoma, we're going to see rotation at the top of the league.
Right.
I don't think any team is going to just sit at the top for a long time like Oklahoma has. And that's not going to happen. We'll have some rotation. I mean, Kansas State certainly thinks they have an opportunity to do that, and maybe they do. But
right.
you know, it'll be fine. I think UConn makes a lot of sense. I think UConn makes sense for the league. If you can get ESPN on board with it, I think it would be a fine and fantastic addition. And then you get Colorado. And what does that leave us with? How many are we going into with next year? We had 10, and we added 4, so 14. And we'll pretend like Texas and Oklahoma aren't there.
They're already gone. Okay.
Right. So what are you at, 12 again? So that gives you, you know, UConn and Colorado and Arizona State. And then you got to look and wonder what's going to happen with the ACC. Because I think ultimately, once the Big 12 gets to about 24, they're probably going to sit there, even regardless of what happens with the ACC. I don't know. But yes, if UConn can come, if they have the capability and ESPN would sign off on it, I would add UConn tomorrow.
Well,
I'm on board with that addition.
Your point that you made earlier in this conversation, I think, is the best conversation point of all, and that is you're basically a stone throws away. I mean, you're probably a 15, 20-minute drive from the studios of ESPN. And I don't know how big that would be, but I'm thinking.
It's big.
I think
it
I'm
can
thinking
be.
It's big.
I mean, it's not big currently. It's not. It doesn't make a difference for them right now.
Not
but
now.
But I think it could with the right circumstances. And if you're Brett Yormark in the Big 12,
you got that
there
right.
is obvious interest to get on board with
That's
that.
That's what I'm thinking.
869-1240 is the IHOP hotline. We're rolling through this Friday. We'll get you ready for the rest of the sports weekend. Any other odds and ends to get to? DeAndre Hopkins to the Texans, perhaps. An interesting wrinkle there. We'll talk about it all as we make our way through the final minutes of our Friday Sports Daily. Back, everybody. Sports Daily. Chad informed me that he does have some coffee cards, some free coffee cards over to HDO. Let's give away a couple right now to our, we'll just do first caller to the IHOP hotline, 869-1240. You can try the hot coffee. You can try one of the new iced coffee offerings at HTO East only. Only the East to get the coffee, which is at 127th and 21st. So Chad will get us a winner to that. Let me know what you think about it. Always room for suggestions and thoughts on the business. Paul, DeAndre Hopkins. We talked yesterday about all the teams. I don't remember if we mentioned Houston. I think we did.
Did we?
A potential reunion spot.
No, I don't remember.
It just didn't make a lot of sense from the perspective of they're not going to be a contender and they have an unknown at quarterback now in C.J. Stroud. But Hopkins has family there and apparently would have some interest in going back. I think if the Texans are in a situation where they can afford a shorter contract, giving C.J. Stroud a weapon like Hopkins makes sense, obviously. Same reason Bryce Young would make some sense if he were to go to Carolina. Like, putting an experienced and sometimes bail them out type of receiver like DeAndre Hopkins, who absolutely can go get it as good as anybody in the league as far as bailing out a young quarterback, yeah, I could be on board with that. I mean, I think that that makes some sense. And if DeAndre Hopkins has an emotional reason to have any desire to be there, I think it's worth exploring. The other team that has sort of come up, and we thought this team might be interested, is the Patriots. And that you know, from a competitive standpoint, does make some sense.
Well, it does, but we're almost at the point now where I'm going to quit paying attention until he signs. You know when the news will happen?
Yeah, he's got to go be a free agent.
We've had him linked. Time. We've had him linked with a half a dozen teams in this process, and one by one, they're falling out. They're not going to be that place. But I'm trying to remember, when was the last time we talked about a player who was destined to end up in so many places and never ends up in any of them? So I don't know. I'm kind of thinking that maybe you and I, don't we just kind of sit back and. All right, for sure. We'll make
news. He's got to take his free agency tour.
He's got to figure it out.
He's got to be able to do that.
I think you're right.
And then we just sort of see it.
That's right.
It's okay. Like, that's all right.
And it'll probably be – I won't be so shocked or surprised if it's a team we haven't even mentioned yet. Yeah, would you be surprised? No, I wouldn't be surprised. So we'll see what happens. And I think I'm buying even more what you were talking about yesterday, his desire to make the money, not the legacy – is going to end up being one of the deciding factors in this. I think it's – and, boy, I'm naive when I was naive to think that, you know, he's going to look at where can he go win. I think I was naive. It's whenever somebody says it's not about the money, it's always –
it's about the money.
About the money. So, you know, I'm naive in that, but we'll just go from there. But this story will be a story once he decides – and I think this story, this thing's got legs. This thing does have legs. I think it's going to be a while.
It'll be a fascinating one to watch. He's never been a free agent. And the reason I think that it's okay that it's about the money is because he's old, right? Like, it's not like he's.
Well, he's going to make what he can. Can't blame him.
No, never. I mean, I'm fine with it either way. If guys want to do it one way or the other, go for it. 869-1240 is the number to call as we wrap it up here pretty much on this Friday, Paul. We got Game 2 coming Sunday in the NBA Finals. We get the long break here. The early line is 8.5 to 9 points, which is where Game 1's line is. Let's just, as we look at it, again, I'm still not comfortable with that number. I don't like that number at all. I think I probably would take the points again. I would have lost that. I didn't actually make that bet last night because I'm not confident in my NBA betting skills. But, you know, the Nuggets were in control and it still got down to 11 points in the end. And I have to imagine the Heat will play better in Game 2. Is that enough to get a win? I'll say no. But I think they can finish within the number.
Yeah.
On Sunday.
Yeah, I'm not as convinced as you. I might be after Game 2, but I think no doubt that Denver wins Game 2 and you go back to the Heat. And then you go play at sea level. Then you go back to a home arena. And then we'll see what happens if this team pops to life. Will this team pop to life on Sunday night? Well, maybe. It sure should. I mean, You've had some time to adjust to the altitude in Denver. We'll see what happens. But this series is going to be won or lost, I think, in Game 3 and 4 when this thing goes back to Miami. That's where, you know, because let's face it, I don't think at this point you or I or even Jad Chambers will be shocked if Denver wins Game 2.
Let's put it on the line this way.
All right.
Let's put it on the line this way.
All right, please.
If Miami loses Game 2, do they have any chance to win the series?
I do, because if they lose Game 3, then I'll say no. But if they lose Game 2, I'm still in the camp. Send it back to Miami, and let's see if it can go back to Denver 2-2. Then I think at that point anything could happen. But no,
One more cut of audio. Jad, I think we have time to get this in, and this is interesting. Let's see if we can get that Barkley audio in here to give us some perspective on Miami's role in this.
You talk about underappreciated superstars. You talk about underappreciated teams, this Denver Nuggets. Nobody has believed in them all season, and they're here. And listen, if the Miami Heat are able to win this championship, it will be, in my opinion, the greatest run ever.
Yep.
For an underdog.
Yep.
For an underdog.
He's right.
True that.
I mean, we don't see eight seeds. He's right. Mm. They're underdogs. Don't overlook how big an underdog they are in this series.
Right.
We'll see. Game two on Sunday. We'll come back. We'll wrap it up on this Friday edition of Sports Daily right after this.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.